You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Already in progress. Final hour on this Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. Your phone calls. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Gang's all here. We'll talk to Carson Palmer, former NFL quarterback. Kind enough to join us on Mondays here. And we'll recap what we saw. Get you ready for the Cowboys and the Eagles coming up tonight. Got a poll question. McLovin, you want to update us on the poll question?
Okay, yeah. Which 3-0 team would you bet against making the playoffs? Broncos staying on top, 41%. Panthers right behind them at 37%.
All right. McLovin has an against the grain. 5 losses that were actually wins for teams. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Hit the music.
All right, let's start with the game of the day. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers lose to the Rams, or did they? We all know how Belichick and Brady work. An early season loss to galvanize the troops, a little thing that they can yell at practice, like in 2018 when they lost to the Lions in week 3, mm-hmm. went on to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much harder it is to beat Tom Brady twice in a season compared to once? Much harder. I don't have any analytics on that. So I think the Rams made a strategic mistake winning this one. But in all seriousness, though, it's going to be hard to beat Tom Brady twice. I know everyone's saying the Rams look like the team to beat.
Well,
they
beat him last year in November.
Yep.
They didn't get a chance to beat him again. And are you going to have the best record in the NFC? Because I'm still banking on Tampa Bay probably having a better record than the Rams, given the fact that the Rams play in a tougher division.
The last time someone beat Brady twice in a year was 2015. The Broncos beat them in the regular season, then beat them in the AFC title game.
Okay.
My second loss that was really a win was actually for Team Andy Dalton. It was a loss for the Bears, but all I can say is I am very grateful he was not out on that field to see that. Because I don't care if you had Tom Brady, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. No quarterback was going to win in that situation. So big win for 14 in that one.
I wonder how many sacks they would have had if Andy Dalton was in there instead of Justin Fields.
Well, he does get rid of the ball quick.
Yeah.
So that would have helped. He does cut them down. Like, he throws that little out. Okay, my third.
People in Chicago are calling for Matt Nagy to be fired today.
The offense really, I mean, today. Fields only threw the ball like 4 times in the first half. He only had like 4 attempts.
Here's something for you. Net passing yards this weekend. Justin Fields had 1 net passing yard.
That's 3 feet.
Mitchell Trubisky had 1 net passing yard. Rushing yards. Justin Fields had 12 yards. Mitchell Trubisky had 19 with Buffalo. Continue.
Okay, my next loser that really won. This is going to be harsh, and I'm probably going to get some nasty phone calls on this. Pittsburgh Steelers. I think these losses are a good thing. I think it's about time we admit it's time to move on. They haven't drafted a first-round quarterback other than Big Ben since 1980. And now I have a quick trivia interlude during Against the Grain. Can anyone name...
An interlude, okay.
Can anyone name the 4 other first-round quarterbacks that the Pittsburgh Steelers have taken besides Big Ben in the entire history of the franchise? They've only taken 5 first-round quarterbacks. The other one,
Terry Bradshaw,
that's easy. There's 3 more. 1980, and people in this room have worked with him before. That is my hint.
Mark Malone?
Yeah, Mark Malone went 28. 1957, this one went on to win a Super Bowl with a different team.
57, Unitas was not a first-round pick. He wasn't drafted.
Yeah, I did not know this team picked this guy. He's one of your favorites. There's an iconic image of him smoking in the locker room.
Lenny Dawson.
Yeah. Did you know he started out with the Steelers?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not.
He was number 5 pick. And 53 is a former coach that you'll never know, but he was a number 5 overall pick, Ted Marchabrota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Lastly, 4 and 5 are the same team, basically. Teams that might have won by losing.
Okay.
The Jaguars and Jets, are they going to be in a competition for number 1? And I looked at 5 mock drafts this morning. Kayvon Thibodeau is number 1, the Oregon pass rusher in all of them. Do you tank for a defensive end if you're the Jags and the Jets? You have a quarterback. Get a superstar pass rusher. I mean, what is there? I'm sorry, but the Jets and the Jags, there's nothing to play for right now.
Well, maybe you trade that pick. But, you know, I'm waiting to see these quarterbacks emerge. For everybody who says, well, that's Spencer Rattler, I watch a lot. I watched him in high school. He was dynamic. He's not consistent. He got booed by the Oklahoma fans. I don't look at him and go, boy, there's a franchise-making guy. He's not Kyler Murray, in my opinion. I don't know who's going to emerge as, boy, you got to have that quarterback. And there'll probably be two or three where you go, oh, okay, that guy looks like he's going to be real. I haven't seen that yet where you go, that's going to translate to Sundays in the NFL. Anything else?
I just want to say that I think the audience won by losing by having to listen to that.
There. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Against the grain for autographed cards, memorabilia, rare inserts, rookie cards. There's something for everyone in Panini America packs. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. I watched some of the Florida State game, lost to Louisville, 0-4. Watched USC lose to Oregon State. The last time USC lost at home to Oregon State, 1960. Whew. Ouch. Well, we already know there's a coaching change waiting to happen, but 45-27, USC loses. You can't fire the interim coach, at least not yet, right? By the way, here's a stat for you. The Chargers capitalized on four Chiefs turnovers to pull off the win in Kansas City. Since 2019, no team has played more one-score games than the Chargers. 26 games decided by one score or less. Their winning percentage in those games, 34% of the time. College football, what happened this weekend? And how does it play out in a bigger picture? You know, maybe Clemson turns it around this season, but Dabo Sweeney's got to fix this because you think Clemson, plug and play, DJU, they're going to have talent, but losing this weekend, Miami Hurricanes, remember when they used to be at their peak, or USC? It happens. It's cyclical where you go, what happened to that team, that school? And it's certainly... has happened to Clemson so far this season. Some phone calls coming up. I saw this story with Kyrie Irving. This is from Brian Windhorst and Zach Lowe from the Mothership. Kyrie Irving is not expected to attend the Nets media day today due to New York City health and safety protocols. But the Nets fully expect Kyrie to accompany the team to training camp in San Diego. There's a report out that Kyrie may not play in home games for the Nets. I'll make sure I get all the information right. But may not play in home games this year due to COVID protocols. This according to The Athletic. 90% of the NBA players are vaccinated. The focus remains on the 10% that aren't. And one of those players reportedly is Kyrie Irving, according to Fox Sports. He's unvaccinated, and if he doesn't get at least one dose of the vaccine before the season starts, not only would he be subject to the stricter guidelines set by the league, he would also be unable to play in any of the Nets' home games per the New York City vaccine mandate. At some point, do you just say, is Kyrie worth it? He's a fabulously talented player, but it just feels like there's always something there with him. Always drama. So I don't know if he's willing to sit out the entire season, half the season. I mean, if I'm the Nets, I want half my money back. But, you know, there was a report that Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving, but Kevin Durant turned this down. You know, at some point, KD's got to go, man, I love you, Kai, but, man, I gotta win some championships here, you know? If I know it sounds crazy. If I could trade Kyrie for Ben Simmons, I'd do it. I know that, you know, Ben Simmons is broken, or at least part of him is broken. But I just, That's at least basketball related, where I can go, okay, let me see if I can give him more confidence. He doesn't need to be a scorer. He can be our Draymond Green. With Kyrie, it's just, it's always something. It's never simple with him. And I'm not talking about, you know, the earth is flat. I mean, he can believe that if he wants to. Like, that, the people who think the earth is flat, do you think there's a bunch of cars, like, at the very end, where you keep driving, and then you just go off a cliff, and there's, like, a junkyard there full of cars?
I've always wanted to know the name of the town at the edge.
Yeah.
Like, those people have to be just, it's got to be a wild scene over there.
And don't you see U2's guitar player, like, is the edge, like, is he... Like, see the mayor of the end of the earth? Oh, yeah, Edge. Edge lives there. Oh, man. Here's another one just to consider. When you see how your team is after three games, strength of schedule, the remaining games for these teams. This is based on the 2021 records of upcoming opponents. So the toughest remaining strength of schedules. Kansas City Chiefs have the toughest schedule. The Giants are second, followed by the Browns, Chargers, and Washington football team. It's the Chiefs because of how good the AFC West is right now. Would I panic on the Chiefs? No. Would I at least be aware and be willing to admit we keep every team in a game? Because they don't blow out anybody. For as explosive as we think that offense is, that defense still keeps you in games. Chiefs have been outscored by 3 points total this season. So as much as we look at them when we go, well, that dynamic offense, yes, but they don't blow anybody out. What's their biggest margin of victory, McLovin, over the last, let's say, 10 games? Biggest margin of victory. All right. Take their last 10 victories and tell me the biggest win total there, the margin there. I'm going to say it's at 7 points. Maybe 7 points. Yeah, Paulie.
Going back to the 2020 season, you're right. All their games were close. Like against Carolina, they won by 2. Against Vegas, they won by 3. These are regular season games. Against Denver, a bad team last year, they won by 6. Their only blowout win I could find, and there's a bunch more. They're all close. They're all within touchdown, like you said. The Jets, which were awful, they beat 35-9. They beat Baltimore by 14. So they don't have any three touchdown wins besides the Jets last year.
And I know that people are, I don't know if they're overreacting to Ben Roethlisberger, like the end is near. I thought the end was already here before the season started. I mean, this is an awkward season. Because if you don't have that Steeler defense keeping you in games, you're asking Ben to try to win games, and Ben is not able to do that. When you're the receiver you target the most is your running back. Najee Harris was targeted, I think, 17 times. Those are probably 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards. That's it. Ben doesn't have any time. And if he does, it's out of his pocket. I mean, he just doesn't want to get hit anymore. Used to be that he almost took on those hits. He can't do that anymore. A couple of best and worst of the weekend. Scott in Oregon. Hey, Scott, what's on your mind today?
Hello, how's it going?
Great, Scott.
6-3, 6-3, 225. So my best of the weekend was definitely my Oregon State Beavers just dominating USC. It's like the Trojans ran into a dam built out of chainsaws. It wasn't even close.
Wow.
So that was pretty awesome. And I didn't have any worst of the weekend. I think the Seahawks could have lost twice, and it would have affected my mood with how awesome the Beaver game was.
All right. Thank you, Scott. See, that's why, you know, I don't bet, but I do keep an eye on it. If you said, hey, the Vikings going to get beat Seattle, I'm like, I don't think so. If you would have said the Lions were going to beat the Ravens, I would have said, yes, I think so. But I also thought the Jags were going to beat the Cardinals. There are just certain games where you go, this doesn't make any sense. Yeah, Paulie.
But Kirk Cousins has to be the most frustrating guy to pin down if he's a good quarterback or not. Because in a game that's not on national TV, he'll throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. And most people didn't see it.
I know.
But then you go Sunday Night Football and he gives it up.
He's a bottom line guy. Like, his games are on the bottom line. And then you'll go, oh, wow, Kirk Cousins having a good game. Yes, McLovin.
But I don't understand. He throws for 400 yards and no pass travels more than 6 yards in the air. Why don't they just all move up?
Yeah. Well, you could say that about a few of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's a thing nowadays.
Yeah, it is. It's just, let's get it out quick. We don't have a running game. We don't need a running game. We get it out quickly. And I got to ask Carson Palmer this. He'll join us coming up next. I'm watching the last 37 seconds with Green Bay and San Francisco. And I'm going, okay, do you either put pressure on Rodgers or do you make sure that Devontae Adams is not open? How about you did neither? You didn't put pressure on Aaron Rodgers and you didn't cover Devontae Adams. Everybody knew Devontae Adams was going to be the guy Rodgers was going to go for. I mean, I give credit to the Packers. But the 49ers, I just can't let Devontae Adams beat me. I can't. I Rodgers can throw someplace else. Your best receiver, your best weapon will not beat me. If you can't put pressure on Rodgers, then you got to at least make sure Devontae Adams doesn't make any catches. Yeah, Paul.
Remember, it wasn't Devontae Adams who didn't sign his contract extension before the season because he wants to see where Rodgers is going. I'm a package deal with that guy if I'm Devontae. I don't care where he goes, I'm signing. If he stays, I'm signing.
Let's take a break. We'll talk to Carson Palmer. More phone calls coming up as well. And who's joining us on the program tomorrow, Todd?
Chris Sims will join us and Chargers head coach Brandon Staley after that big win at Arrowhead.
Yeah, when he went up 4th and 9, they got the pass interference call. And like, every team, is going to do this against the Chiefs. On 4th down, if it's manageable, you're going to go for it because you don't want to give Mahomes the ball, but you're not worried about that defense. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Let's see. I went for a long hike. I went up to a summit of a mountain. And, I mean, yeah, I'm that kind of a... I saw Paulie this weekend. He goes, what are you doing this weekend? I said, well, kayaking, golfing, and I already climbed the summit. Paulie was drinking beer at the time and eating, I don't know, wings or a pretzel.
Yeah, sausage. I wanted to even it out. You were doing the heavy lifting. I was evening it out.
Yeah, you know, but I had some sore muscles. Level Select CBD, sports creams, and roll-ons. They come to the rescue. Carson Palmer is the one who gave me a heads up on this. And Level Select CBD, formulated with doctors, high concentration of CBD. You feel it work immediately. Roll it on the muscles that are all banged up, made with 0% THC. Right to the sore spots. Let the proprietary blend of CBD go to work. LevelSelectCBD.com. Use the promo code DP30. $30 off your entire order today. $30 off. LevelSelectCBD.com. Promo code DP30. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by CBD, trusted by professional athletes. Level Select CBD provides targeted relief, helps treat everyday discomfort when you need it the most. Go to LevelSelectCBD.com. Use the promo code DP30. $30 off your entire order. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. I mentioned the numbers here with the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's the Chiefs' last 10 wins. They won by 2, 4, 3, 6, 6, 3, 3, 5, 14, and 4. That defense is going to keep everybody in. The question is, can the offense outscore the opposition? And as it is right now, you know, one other thing, the Chiefs are 10-4 over their last 14 games. So they've outscored those 14 opponents by a grand total of 4 points. And once you get to the playoffs, that is really dangerous. Let's bring in Carson Palmer, the former NFL quarterback, of course, Heisman Trophy winner at USC. Can you explain the Kansas City Chiefs? Like, what is the philosophy do you think they have going into these games, including what happened against the Chargers?
Well, when you look at the sheer size of that defense, that's how they're built. They are built to be in a shootout week in and week out. I mean, just look at Tyrann Mathieu, who's one of the better safeties in the league. He's all 175 pounds dripping wet. You look at that linebacker core, they are built for speed. Now you got Chris Jones and some pass rushers up front, but they have designed and built that defense to run around and defend the pass. They're not going to get many games where they have to stop the run, where the opposing offense is going to carry the ball 40 times a game because they're assuming their offense is going to be up some points.
You could have Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce as a quarterback. Who do you want?
I'd take Kelce just because at the end of the day, what's most important is moving the chains. And anytime they get in third down, Kelce's an automatic chain mover.
I brought this up a couple of times. I'm watching last night with Rodgers against the Niners. There's 37 seconds left. And I didn't know if that was enough time because I thought, okay, San Francisco's either going to put pressure on Rodgers or they're going to make sure Davante Adams doesn't beat them. They did neither. How is that possible, Carson?
Aaron's that good. I mean, as much heat as he takes and the drama that comes and surrounds him, it seems every offseason, he is that good. I mean, the ball he threw late over the middle to Davante, where he just had enough touch on it over the outstretched fingers of the defender's hand. I mean, that ball is one of one. There aren't many other quarterbacks, if any quarterbacks in the league, that can make that pass.
Okay, but you know Davante Adams is his go-to guy. What kind of defense was San Francisco trying to play there?
Well, they were in zone. And early in the game, you saw them in man. And anytime they get in man and Devontae's on the outside, they throw the ball over the top. They throw the ball to his back shoulder. I mean, he caught three or four back shoulder balls in that game. But they also threw three or four long, incomplete go balls over the top that they didn't complete. So as a corner, you just don't know what to do. You don't know if it's coming quick on your back shoulder. You don't know if he's airing it out and throwing it down the field. And they do just enough of both to where, as a defender, you have to be ready for that long ball, and you got to try to react to that back shoulder throw.
Yeah, but how about I double cover Davante Adams, right? Anybody else can beat me. If they do, congratulations. I can't let your best player beat me.
Yeah, but Devontae's so smart. Devontae's in the slot. Devontae's in short motions. He's a single receiver on a 3-by-1 formation. I mean, he's so good in that system and knows that system so well that LaFleur does a great job of moving him around where you can't always double a guy. Now, if a guy's playing only backside or weak side receiver, you can double him because you know where he's going to be. You don't know where Devontae's going.
Do you know Rodgers at all?
Yes.
What can you tell us? Like, how would you describe him?
As just a guy, as a dude?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're watching him as a quarterback to a quarterback. Like, what is it that makes him so special? And then I want to ask you about him off the field.
Oh, I think he's the worst thing for a young quarterback like Mac Jones or some of these guys that come into the league, because you can't watch him. He will kill your confidence. You will watch him on film and see him do things and go, man, I know I can't do that. Do I have to be able to do that and throw that ball to be successful in this league? So the first thing I do with these young quarterbacks is say, watch as much film as you can. Do not watch any Green Bay film.
That's awesome. I've never heard that analysis, because everybody wants to try to replicate, you know, the best. And you would just say, look, remove that guy, and then you can try to emulate some of these other guys.
Watch as much film as you can. You shouldn't be watching ESPN or the Dan Patrick Show. You should be watching film and film and film. Just don't ever watch Green Bay film, especially from a fundamental and technique standpoint. I mean, he does so many things you're coached not to do as a young kid, as far as, you know, stepping into throws, being on balance, staying on platform. He throws so many balls off his back foot that he just flicks. And it's a confidence killer for a young quarterback.
What's he like off the field?
He's awesome. I love him. I play golf with him a bunch. I've been around him a bunch. He's very guarded. He needs to be very guarded. He's one of the most polarizing figures in probably all of sports, but to people that call him friends, everybody loves him.
Yeah, I always tell people that, you know, I played golf with him a couple of times and have been around him, and I've felt the sense of humor that he has. Like, you know, he can jab you, and, you know, it's like a boxer. He'll kind of hit and then he'll back up a little bit, you know, but he's not for everybody. Would you say that that's true?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he's extremely guarded. So if you're on the outside, you're on the outside, but he's funny. He's quick witted. He's got way more interest than just football or sports. He's into a lot of different things. But like I said, I mean, to the guys that know him and guys that have been close and spent time with him, I don't know anybody that doesn't love him.
He's Carson Palmer, joining us on the program, former NFL quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner at USC. I was wondering about Sean McVay's role now with Matthew Stafford and how that's different for a head coach during a game with Stafford as opposed to Jared Goff.
I really don't think it's that far off. They've come out and been so explosive and really just pretty. I mean, everything they do, it's pretty to watch.
But play calling, though, Carson, it felt like he was always in Jared Goff's ear, or we were given that impression?
I don't think so. I think you saw that early with Jared Goff, because those were really Jared Goff's first couple years in the league. Matt's got a lot more years. You know, I think Matt moves a little better than Jared, but they're really similar, style quarterbacks. I thought, Jared got a bad rap, but I thought Jared could flat out spin it. I mean, he really threw the ball well. Stafford throws it a little bit better. Stafford has way more experience. He's been in a lot of, a lot more seasons, a lot more games. But at the end of the day, Stafford's older. I think Goff's got a longer runway. He's going to probably play 3, 4, 5 more years after Stafford retires. And that was a lot to give up for a very similar style skill set player. But I think you're seeing it with Matt. I mean, Matt moves a little bit better. He's a little bit quicker. He does a better job getting outside the pocket than Jared did. But still, I mean, like I said, I thought Jared got a bad rap and took a lot of heat for what went down in L.A. But I think Jared can flat throw it.
Would you rather face Myles Garrett or Aaron Donald?
Ooh. I would rather face Myles Garrett, because at least you can step up in the pocket when he wins on the outside rush. But I played against Aaron twice a year for a long time when I was in Arizona, and he wreaks havoc inside the pocket. And I thought that was kind of that's the thing that you've seen Brady struggle with. I was thinking the Rams were going to end up winning yesterday, because when Brady's had a difficult time, back to the Super Bowls against the Giants, and some of the situations he's been in where when he doesn't have a pocket to step up into, he's not going to beat you with his legs. Everybody knows that. But when he can't step up and accurately deliver the ball because he's stepping into throws and transferring his weight into throws, he's going to have a tough time beating you like he did yesterday against the Rams.
Yeah, I agree with you that Aaron Donald is so valuable just from that perspective of they line him up at different places. But that pressure up the middle, there aren't many guys who can do it. They can give you pressure, but they can't get to the quarterback. Like Haloti Ngata and some of those guys, like they put pressure, but they're not necessarily getting to you. Aaron Donald is a unicorn. Did you face anybody who was similar to Aaron Donald aside from Aaron Donald?
No, but I think it was one of our first games in Arizona back when the Rams were in St. Louis. We were, I think it was a division clinching game in St. Louis. It was really odd. The stadium was quiet. There was nobody there. There was really bad lighting in that stadium. And I got back to the huddle, and one of my good buddies, Lyle Sinline, was the center. And Aaron had just come on the scene. He was just drafted. And I think we're up a couple scores. It's the end of the fourth quarter. And we had heard of this Aaron Donald guy, but he wasn't a top 2 or 3 pick. So there wasn't a lot of film on him. There wasn't a lot of talk about him. But I got back in the huddle and I started calling play, and Lyle looked up to me and said, "Don't call it. Don't call it." I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "I can't even see the guy, let alone block him." I'm like, "Who are you talking about? 99, 99. Don't call that inside zone play. I can't block him." And that was my first, Aaron's welcome to the welcome to the NFL moment. Cause then I went back and watched the film, and we didn't hardly block him at all. And nothing's changed since that's, game 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Okay. So how do you react when your center says, "Don't call that. I can't block the guy"?
I called an outside screen. I changed the play.
Did Donald get you that game?
He got me plenty of times that game. He is an absolute problem. And now, that was back before everybody knew, how good he was. That was back when he was getting a lot of one-on-ones, single blocks. Now, entire game plans are built around him. So he's hardly one-on-one with anybody.
Can you hear an outside rusher going by you? Or do you just
no.
sense it?
No, it's something you just sense. I mean, it's kind of a sixth sense thing. You've been in that moment so many times and practiced that moment so many times. It's so loud in there. And then, you've probably got a coach still, yelling something in your ear. And all that's going on around you, you just got to feel it and sense it.
Who's the best outside guy you faced?
man, when I was young and came in the league, Strahan was a problem. I mean, he was so big. He was so physical and long. And that's the thing about Strahan, too, is he would bull rush you from the outside. And he had Justin Tuck and some other guys inside of him. So he was one-on-one. And he wouldn't necessarily beat you with speed around the pocket, but he would collapse the tackle into your lap. So kind of like Aaron Donald, he would shrink the size of the pocket just with a bull rush on the outside edge.
What do you see when you see Justin Herbert?
You know, I watched the Ram game or the Charger game, and I also watched who was the other game right before him? Oh, it was the Justin Fields game in Chicago. And the two differences I noticed, and aside from Justin Herbert being a physical specimen, I mean, he is just bigger, quicker, and has an absolute hose. But the way they protect him with the play calling was so different than what was going on in Chicago. You very rarely saw Justin Herbert with the Chargers drop back in a seven-step drop. Everything was off the run. If they were taking a long, deep drop, they were doing six- and seven-man protections off of play action. And then they got the ball out really, really quick. When they were spreading people out, the ball wasn't in his hands past a three-step drop. I mean, before you knew it, he had the ball in shotgun. Boom, ball's out. Then you go and watch Justin Fields in that Chicago game, and they didn't do anything to protect him. So, you know, when I'm watching Justin Herbert play, I'm seeing a really, really good job. And he's not even that young anymore. I mean, Justin Fields is young. Justin Fields is in game one. Herbert's in year two, and they're still doing a really good job in LA at protecting him. Lots of long play action. They're running the ball effectively. They're throwing screens, and then they're getting in the quick game and getting the ball out of his hands. So I really like the way they're moving the pocket and adjusting the game plan to protect Justin Herbert, and vice versa. I don't like what they're doing in Chicago with Justin Fields. I mean, you know when he's dropping back by formation alone. So you're seeing defensive line pin their ears back and come after him.
Okay, but Carson, you're saying this. You're not even there. It feels like, how does Matt Nagy? It felt like it was irresponsible what the Bears did to Justin Fields.
Yeah, at the same time, though, I will say Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears don't have anybody that can win one-on-one outside. And so If you put Andy Dalton in that same situation, you don't have the ability for Andy Dalton to make something out of nothing like Justin Fields can. So they're in a tough spot in Chicago because they just don't have any winners on the outside. They don't have a true number one receiver that can just flat out win for you. So they got to get creative. And then they also have to account for the quarterback making something out of nothing, three, four, five third downs a game where they can do it with their legs. And Andy Dalton doesn't have that ability, but Justin Fields gives them that ability.
Are you all in on the Raiders?
I like them. I'll tell you what I like. I like two things. I'm not all in on the Raiders until they get to week 15, 16, 17. I'll tell you what I like, though. I really like that defensive front. That defensive front is stout. That defensive front can get after the passer a little bit. They don't have a true pass rusher. They got rid of Khalil Mack, obviously, but they got a lot of guys. They platoon in a lot of stout, salty defensive linemen. So they can stop the pass. They can stop the run. They can get after the passer. But the other thing I really like about them is Derek Carr is playing with a true toughness and a true grit that I really hadn't seen. And I don't think Gruden had seen it before, but you watch these last two, 3 weeks of watching him play. He's stepping into throws, taking one in the face. He's moving around the pocket late. He's not giving up and throwing the ball away. He's not getting in 2 minute situations and throwing the quick drag to get the ball out of bounds all the time. He's holding the ball in the pocket. He's taking hits and he's delivering it accurately down the field. And I hadn't seen that out of Derek Carr yet. So I'm really surprised and proud of the way he stepped in the pocket and played with a lot of grit.
You still have your Raiders jersey?
I do not. I do not have a Raiders jersey. My kids do, though. My kids still wear a number 3 Raiders jersey.
Yeah, but you don't have your Raider jersey.
I don't think. Do you have that? You only gave me my jersey.
Do you have any memorabilia up in your house?
No, I've got pictures of my kids. I've got kids' toys. Yeah, no memorabilia.
No jerseys. No jerseys up.
No jerseys. No jerseys.
Damn.
So disappointing.
No, it's just surprising. I guess I didn't know if you had a room, and you know, like your kids are old enough to know that dad played in the NFL, but take a trip. You don't strike me as taking a trip down memory lane.
We don't take a lot of trips down memory lane. But let me ask you this: how many bobbleheads do you have of yourself in your office right there?
A few of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I love me, Carson. I mean, I love taking a trip down memory lane. Let me tell you about the days at SportsCenter. You know, like, yeah. So, well, if you have any jerseys that you don't want up, but you want me to put them up in the man cave, then I'll be more than happy to. I got Barry Sanders there, Dan Marino there, Favre there, Tom Brady there, Reggie Miller, Adam Sandler from The Longest Yard. So there's
all this runaround, and all you had to do is ask me for a jersey. You don't have to go around the room and talk. Like,
my bad.
Just ask, Dan.
Okay. If you got a jersey and you want to donate it to the man cave, we'd love to.
I'll send you a jersey.
That'd be great. All right.
Tell Fritz it's coming his way.
You know what? I'll get the FedEx number and send it to you.
There you go.
All right. Thank you. Hey, great to talk to you, buddy.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Carson Palmer. I love that analysis where you're saying to these rookie quarterbacks, hey, whatever you do, do not watch Aaron Rodgers. Don't try to imitate that. We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if it's a thing or not, but I'll point it out, being the journalist that I am. Matt Nagy's press conference that was supposed to start 47 minutes ago has yet to start. What could be happening with the Chicago Bears? I'm sure the fans would probably be rooting for something there, but we don't root for anybody to lose their job. But Matt Nagy's press conference is almost 50 minutes late in getting started. We'll talk to the Chargers head coach, Brandon Staley, and Chris Sims from Football Night in America will join us coming up tomorrow. Here's a little back and forth. Our good buddy Tom Curran covers the Patriots and talking to Bill Belichick earlier this morning.
You spoke on WEEI today about Tom Brady looking at his options, and he decided Tampa was a better option. Why weren't the Patriots a better option for him when both Robert Kraft and Brady himself said over and over how much they wanted him to finish his career here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to go back and rehash all that. We've talked about that.
It
really,
you've never talked about it with us.
The focus is on the game here. And look, I have so much respect and appreciation for Tom and everything he did here and for me and for our team. And, you know, we're just getting ready to compete against Tampa this week, and we're going to keep our focus on that.
But you talk about rehashing dynamics that you've already gone through. You've never done that.
We made a statement when Tom left, and that covered it.
You surprised how well he's played? He's thrown 61 touchdown passes in 23 games down there. Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Tom's a great player. Nothing surprises me that he does.
Our boy Tom Curran going toe to toe. You have
there.
Never. Whoa. Yeah, Paulie.
He interrupted him.
Ooh.
It's kind of open season on Belichick now that they're down and Tom's up.
I know. Yeah, see.
Be careful.
I know. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of revisionist history going on, it feels like, in New England. Like, we wanted him to stay, and you know what? Every indication was they didn't want him to stay. Tom knew that they didn't want him to stay. Go back to Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he knew that his days were numbered and Bill could find another quarterback. And, maybe he's found that quarterback in Mac Jones. I think they were probably hoping that there would be more progress with Mac Jones going into this big showdown with Tom Brady. I mean, he's done okay. But he's also with a team that is better surrounding him than all these other rookie quarterbacks here. Fritzy always says, don't answer more phone calls, but I say no, we should. Nick in Indiana, best and worst of the weekend. Hi, Nick.
Yes, sir. 5'7", 195, a jacked 195.
For sure.
First time, long time. Best of the weekend, the Cubbies getting swept by my St. Louis Cardinals and running out a 16-win streak. Worst of the weekend, the Colts laying an egg and going to 0-3.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Cardinals are one shy of the franchise record, set back in 1885 of 17 wins in a row. How about the National League West with the Dodgers and Giants both 100 wins? One's going to be in the wild card. Yes, McLovin.
You know, the Phillies and Braves have a key series this week. I assume you want daily updates from me
yes,
on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And nightly updates, too.
Text you, yeah.
Late. Oh, yeah. Don't stop. This day in sports history, Paulie.
Here's a little quiz. 1983, Larry Bird signed a 7-year deal with the Celtics. He just won MVP. 1983, 7-year deal for Larry Bird. The contract made him the highest paid player in Celtics history. What did Larry Bird get for 7 years with the Celtics in 1983?
$3.5 million.
$15 million for 7 years. That's about less than the 2.5 a season.
Oh, my God.
That's 1/3 of what John Wall will make this year.
Imagine, though, if you won 3 MVPs and what you would be worth. It's like Shohei Ohtani. What's he going to be worth? And does he look around and go, hey, I can see this team growing. And you know, Ohtani had another great performance. But he wants to win. And that stood out from his press conference. It's like, I want to win. You can love it there, but you can want to win, and that doesn't mean it's going to happen in the same place. Let's see. Al in Atlanta. Al, best and worst of the weekend.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Al.
Great weekend this weekend. Got nothing but best, starting with my best on Friday, getting to see Hamilton in its last weekend at the Fox Theater, then following up with the 16th rain delay in Padres home field history, letting me watch the entire Braves game after that. Saturday, bestest waking up to watch Everton get a 2-0 victory, and the Bulldogs straight mollywhopping Vandy 62-0. You can tell what Pittsburgh Dave, we're not scared of no Razorbacks. We're ready. And right. Of course, the bestest of all, Sunday, Falcons finally winning a game.
Man, that's a full weekend for Al in Atlanta. Yes, McLeod.
Do you consider that seeing Hamilton if you didn't see the original cast?
No, not really. I saw Hamilton original cast twice, of course. Thank you, McLeod. Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program. Todd, what did you learn today?
Our friend Maurice Jones-Drew really wants you to get him in an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. McLovin?
Justin Tucker won't give his shoes to the Hall of Fame for another month. He still wants to use them.
And he wants to keep the football. Seton O'Connor.
What has Shaq done that Maurice Jones-Drew hasn't done?
Dan Patrick, shut the hell up.
Paulie?
Don't watch Aaron Rodgers, Bill.
Todd, what did I learn today?
The Chiefs keeping things close with their opponents. Games they pulled out last year, not so much this year.
What we learned brought to you by the Compact GLA proves it's not the size of the SUV in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the SUV. Learn more about the nimble and ready-for-anything Mercedes-Benz vehicle at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support. We'll do it again tomorrow. Chargers head coach Brandon Staley, Chris Sims from NBC. Have yourself a great Monday, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.